ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Going to get to a plethora of topics. Yesterday, you unfortunately had to attend a funeral. I got to attend the qualifying round.
The qualifying round, I know where this is going.
The Paragon qualifying round.
Yeah, I know where this is going.
Jimmy, Sean, Gabe. Two out of three could make it. One would be standing holding the bag. They agreed to play at Clinton because
really?
Jimmy's a Sayre guy. Gabe and Sean play here at Elk. And so they thought it needed to be at a neutral site.
Okay.
And I will tell you what happened.
Anxiously
away. Also got a question for you. All in the qualifying round conversation. What a pillow fight it was. Final four.
With a lot of trash talk, I'm sure.
You know what? It was, everybody was so nervous. They didn't really talk much trash.
That is so funny.
And then, yeah, it was fun to watch. Entertaining, let's put it that way.
You know when I play, maybe I should have been a part of this. You know when I play good, it's when I know I have no chance.
Gosh, we'd have had to go to, if you'd have played, we'd have had to go to like Burns Flat.
Listen, I haven't played in, you know, the last place I played was down in Broken Bow. So, but before that was probably Burns Flat.
I mean, you've been from Clinton and all.
It's been a while. My point is, I have no chance in this. I would have been all loose.
See, this is going to lead into my question for you at the end.
Okay.
Final four. What's your excitement level? Is there any chance that Duke and Carolina can actually live up to what the hype is for that game? Is KU catching a break? I love that it's in New Orleans. You know why? Because New Orleans delivers in the Final Four.
Yeah.
I think this is the seventh time they've hosted. Five of the previous six have just been off the charts, and the other one was the Brow. And then who will win on Saturday? It is April Fool's Day. I didn't have a big old joke or anything to do.
You have your guard up?
I don't. Where does this rank as far as your hierarchy of holidays?
It's fun when you have gullible kids.
Yeah, there's truth about that.
My kid got me this morning.
Oh, no.
My five-year-old.
We will have to hear about that. And also, was KD making an April Fool's joke, April Fool's joke a day early? Talking about OKC retiring his jersey. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there's only one way to, or a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. You can live stream us that way, or you can also download the Paragon Communications app. The app has it all. It's got the three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News. It's also got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Everything we do is right there at your fingertips on the Paragon app. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast is available on KADSAM.com or also iTunes. If you miss one of our shows entirely, you can go back and listen to what we had to say on a certain day about a certain topic. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Sound about like you. The allergies, the dust. I'm ready for it to rain.
I don't know what it is.
And I'm ready for the grass to start growing.
Yeah. I will never complain about possible rain. I had plans to do some yard work, but it looks like
that's
not happening after work today.
That's what I start praying for it when I have plans to do yard work.
I don't mind it.
Do not let me forget, I have to go down and pick up a part for my mower to see if I can get it to work. So just throughout the day, say, hey, did you go pick up that part?
Okay.
That way I don't forget, because I've got a busy day today.
I wonder if it's the same place I was going to go.
Skipped out.
I like to go to a local rental place.
No. This is more of a farm implement.
Gotcha.
Spot.
No, I'm not going to complain about the rain. Not at all. If it's because, you know, this weekend we're kind of busy, so I didn't have a lot of free time.
Yeah, you know, plus there's been, you know, 37,000 acres burnt just north of us. Yeah. They could probably use some rain.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to complain.
Okay, don't complain.
I'm not complaining. Let's go. I'm happy. I went to sleep last night. It was like a 20%. I wake up, it's like 90% right when we get off work.
Yes. Yeah, it's looking better and better as we move along.
I like that. And then this weekend still looks great. Weather-wise, right?
Yeah.
I always get paranoid when you get personal texts that I can't see on our text line.
I mentioned that I was going to try to repair my mower, and one of our sponsors, Western Oklahoma Realty, Tyler wants me to sell tickets to watch me try to do it. Well, it's probably a pretty good idea.
You have brought your mower problems to this show so many times.
Oh, my gosh.
Aaron, is it time for a new mower?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. If this fix doesn't work, that will be a great question, because our mower's pretty old.
Yeah, yeah.
And so would it be worth spending money to fix it versus getting it now?
Yeah, you got to do the math. How much money have you put into fixing this thing every year?
Once we got the belt thing fixed, it's been pretty easy.
Sometimes I pray my
mower. Buy a real mower. Man, yeah. I wish I had a yard that I could mow with a real mower.
I have had my mower for, I'm going to guess, 10-plus years now. It's coming up on the decade mark. I've had it before we've been in the house we're in now. And this thing, it's like that truck that ran through the tornado. This thing is a rock. Does not break down on me. I take care of it. Don't kid yourself. But sometimes I think, man, I can't wait for this thing just not start. I have an excuse to go get a new mower.
No, you don't want that. You do not want that. Because if you got one that works, you want to hold on to it.
Well, listen, this thing's not going anywhere. And I've already mowed once this year. And it's always that first time you start it up between seasons. Like, well, is this the year? And she started. Actually, it was funny. I didn't think it wouldn't start. It was struggling and struggling. I thought, what is going on? And then I realized I intentionally last year ran it till the gas was out. So I had no gas in
the tank.
So you
didn't have gas set in there. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, I got to get by. So I put gas in. It started right up. She has been a reliable mower for me.
See, this is the thing. Like right here, I've got a mower, and it's almost 30 years old. Once you get one because here's the thing. I don't know if I know what your yard is, so I'm sure you've got a riding lawnmower.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because so do I. Your yard is way less country.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Than mine?
Yeah.
Just because of where it's at and maybe some neighbors and all that kind of stuff. For me, anyway, not you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you've got, like, grass, you know. It's not
I try.
Like,
yeah. Mine's I mean, more I'm of a block away from a wheat field, you know, and sometimes we'll get the blowing, you know, weeds off of that, if that makes sense. But, yeah, I mean, I try.
And
but
so
I know what you're saying.
It's a little bit of a harder, you know. But
the
point is, once you get one that works, because there's so many little things that go wrong with those, once you get one that works, do not pray for it not to start.
I know.
You want to hold on to that puppy, because I promise you, you can go out and buy a brand new one, and it won't work right. It'll just be like this big giant hassle. And ours was great for the first like 3 or 4 years. It predated me, if we're being honest. And then the belt started snapping, and I was asking my mower buddies, like, "Is this really?" And one dude said, "I've worked on a yard crew." And that's never happened. Like, they'll slip off, but they don't snap.
Snap.
So then we figured out what the problem was there, and that worked great. And now, in the last mow of the year last year, hopefully it's just the PTO switch went bad because it won't mow.
Yeah.
I'm going to find that out. So hopefully that's it. If not, then the discussion is, do we send it to the lawnmower doctor, or do we – I saw one on Facebook that I'm sure has been taken care of that's very similar to the one I have. It's a used one, but I'm sure it's in good shape because of who owned it, and I may be making that phone call.
Well, I just
if this PTO doesn't work.
I just
I'm hoping
want
it's still
a
available.
ZTR mower. I've wanted one for years, but they're a little pricey, especially the size I want with my yard. I want at least a 42-inch deck.
That's what I've got.
At least, so. But, you know, it'll cut my mowing time in half. But is that something I really want?
No.
Sometimes on that mower is my sanctuary.
Goats.
Goats? Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, my wife wants chickens. A chicken coop thing that goes around the yard. I've fertilized.
Seen, yeah.
Maybe. I wonder if they eat stickers.
Really? Yeah.
If they do, then sign me up. Actually, our yard guy has done a heck of a job. It's amazing. In just like 3 years, I think this is the third year that Scotty's been spraying our yard.
Good to
and
go.
Like used to, when I got done mowing, the tires would look white.
Yeah, yeah.
With the amount of stickers.
Right.
And now, there's not even hardly one in there.
That's great.
Oh, he's done a fantastic job, except for the dadgum army worm attack last year.
Well, that affected everybody. That's not his fault.
It did. I know. It's not. No, it's not Scotty's fault. Scotty's done well of a job.
Yeah, I noticed.
Ah, and the chickens will eat stickers.
Well.
That's going to happen. My wife's going to talk us into that.
Get some hens.
We're going to be until we can't talk about the size of our decks on the air.
Okay.
Tell me about your April Fools.
That my kid played on.
Yes.
It. It's the most five-year-old April Fools joke. She knew it was April Fools Day.
Oh, hang on. Before you get there, are you looking on the text line? Dakota's got you a mower.
Yeah, right.
It's only $38,000.
Yeah. Give me a 96-inch. Wow. That's
now cool. Now we got buddies trying to sell me their mowers, yeah. So they can get a different one. Yeah, real nice.
April Fools. My kid knew it was going to be April Fools today. And when I wake her up, I bring her to my bed, let her wake up a little bit, watch TV while we get ready. I went and gave her a hug. She goes, "Daddy, I tooted." I go, "What?" She goes, "April Fools." you little. So
did you have you ever played a good one on anybody?
I did. I think I did this morning. My kid, my oldest kid, I did it on her. She takes a spelling test once every Thursday. If she doesn't get 100 or better, she has to retake it today.
Oh yeah.
She's pretty good at getting them done on Thursday. She got a 106 yesterday, but it was with a substitute teacher. So I told her this morning, I said, "Hey, your teacher called me last night and said she regraded those, and that substitute graded it wrong.
Oh, God.
You got like a 96, so you're going to have to retake that test." And she went blank face, like, "You got to be kidding me." And she looked, I mean, I kept the straight face, too. I said, "I'm sorry." So you remember those words, right? So you did them wrong. I mean, I don't know what. In the moment I felt like she was about to cry, I said, "April Fool's."
I mean, this is horrible.
And then she started laughing. She started laughing, so it was a happy ending.
She had to laugh so she wouldn't cry.
She was like, "What?" Because she is not one. It's my fault, but she is not. I tell her, "Listen, all I want from you in school is to strive to get 90s or better, because that's an A." And she has put it upon herself. If she doesn't get a perfect score, she thinks we're going to get mad. I mean, she'll come home and say, "Dad, I made a 91. I'm like, "That's fine. That's fine." So when I told her, "You made like a 96, she was, because she had the euphoria of that feeling of, "I made 106,
yes,
which is the best score you can,
yeah,
get with the bonus points and everything. So she got 106, and then I told her, "Well, that substitute graded it wrong. You got to retake it."
That is horrible.
That is
horrible.
She laughed.
Oh, my gosh.
She's starting to get my dad humor now.
What about the wife? How did Allie take this? Did she know it happened?
She didn't know it happened.
Until now.
Texting 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I don't know, third grade maybe, first, second, third grade, somewhere in there. We lived right next to the school, so you just walk. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
walk to school. My mom still worked. It was before she started keeping kids. She still worked at the bank. So, you know, I'd get home and have to call her, like, "Hey, I made it home," you know, the half a block from the school or whatever. Well, the weekend before April Fool's, we would go out to my grandparents. They had a house out at Foss. And so we would, a lot of our cousins and stuff, we'd be out there almost every weekend for the summer. And the weekend before, we were racing, and for some reason running toward the barbed wire fence, I guess because the other way would be running toward the street.
Okay.
And I didn't stop soon enough, and I kind of got, you can still see a little bit of a scar on the underneath of my left arm. And I got it hung, and of course it was bleeding, and I was also, when I got home on the April Fool's Day, I called my mom, and I was like fake crying, like, Mom, my arm. And she was freaking out, and then I said April Fool's, and I think I got in trouble for that one. It wasn't quite as funny as I thought it was going to be.
No.
Was KD making an April Fool's joke thinking that Oklahoma City's going to retire his jersey?
Well, if it was today, I'd absolutely agree that, yeah, he was making a joke. Why would he make it a day early? I think I don't know if he even thought he was being serious himself. For those who don't know, he gave an interview and he said not only should Oklahoma City retire his jersey, so should Golden State, which I think both is. Listen, what he did in Oklahoma City was awesome. He's a generational player. I think we all agree on that. But he didn't bring championships, although he brought one Western Conference champ. And the, you know, he set a lot of records and whatnot. But, you know, that's always going to sting the way he left. The reason Nick Collison had his jersey retired is because he was Mr. Thunder. He was what the Thunder, what do we always talk about the Thunder? The culture. He was Mr. Thunder. He was the culture of how the Thunder play, how you act off the court, all that stuff. And the way Durant left, it showed his true form. And he's like, you're not that guy. You were not that guy. So some would wonder, why would you retire Collison's jersey when KD was the better player? That's true. He was the better player. But Collison was the better person. I think that's a big part of why you have a jersey number retired, along with the championships. So yeah. As far as Golden State, no, you jumped on a team that was going to win it anyways. And you want your jersey retired there for the little time that you were there? It's sad. It's sad he had to say that, and it's sad he's still trying to find that identity of being a true champion on his own.
Yeah, I mean, listen, his jersey is getting retired in Oklahoma City. Whether or not anybody likes it or not, eventually that's happening. And it has to happen. I mean, you could say all this Mr. Thunder crap about Collison, and it's true that he was all those things you said. But you don't get your jersey retired because you're a good dude in the organization. Get your jersey retired because you're the best player that ever played for it. And that's what he is. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant's going to be, by the time it's over, he's going to be a top 10 player of all time in the league, if not even higher than that. And I get the pettiness now from the Thunder as an organization, giving PJ Dozier the 35, and because it was like a high school breakup, and they were mad at their boyfriend. But eventually, that'll wear off. But here's what's got to happen: he's got to stop saying crap like this, because about the time people go, you know what? And you start watching him play, and then you remember, like, dang, that's why we loved him. That dude is good. You know, he can do it all.
Yeah.
But about the time he doesn't say anything for a while, and you start getting that feeling like, okay, you know, it's over. You know, the hatred is gone. You can kind of start appreciating what he is as a basketball player again. He goes out and says something stupid like this, and it just re-picks at that wound for a lot of the Thunder people, a lot of the Thunder fans. And so in order for that, when it's going to happen, or in order for that to happen, in my mind, he's got to stop it. He's got to just let it heal. And to say it wouldn't be good for the game of basketball, well, that's just dumb. Well, what's it hurting the game of basketball if Oklahoma City doesn't retire your jersey? Now, it'd be petty on the Thunder's part. There's no doubt about it. But, and you know, the problem is, if he would quit it, people would start to realize something.
Yeah.
And that is, he has never, ever done what a lot of these guys are doing now. And that is forcing his way out of a situation. He's never done that. You know what he's done? He's honored every single stitch of every single contract he's ever signed. He was free to leave. Now, did he go to the team no one wanted him to and all that? Sure, all that's true. But he didn't force his way out of Oklahoma City. He played every single year he had to, that he signed to. He was actually a man of his word, differently than what we see from the Hardens and the Anthony Davises and a lot of these guys. He honored the contract he signed. And then when it was up, he chose to go somewhere else, which is his right. No one liked where how he did it and where he went, leaving here. But at least he did what he said he would do when he signed that contract. And if he would just shut up a little bit, people would start giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because what are we here? And we're not a bunch of vindictive people around this place of Oklahoma. You know what I mean? We're nice folks and go, you know what? Yeah. But the more he talks, the longer it's going to take for that to happen. And it's clear that, you know, he'll be number two in the pecking order because Russ will obviously be the first one that gets this that gets this done. And so, you know, to me, I don't know if it's going to take till he quits playing. Once he quits playing, is he going to have more time to say stupid stuff? You know what I mean? If he would just quit talking for like if he would not utter the words OKC or the letters OKC for a year, this would all be done. But he can't help himself because he wants so bad for everybody to love him.
Yeah, it's an egotistical thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
What's more important, getting a statue or having your jersey retired?
Statue.
And we all know what statue's probably coming first.
Oh, the only statue.
Right. Do you think Russ will have his jersey retired in Oklahoma City?
Oh, yeah. He'll have a statue.
Right, well.
Yeah, yeah, all of that. Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. Because I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe the Thunder have handed out zero since he left.
I haven't seen it.
They handed out 13 when Harden wanted out or left and signed or they traded him or whatever and handed out 35 after Durant left. But I don't remember anybody being zero. I think that gives you a little signal as to how the organization feels. But eventually it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Just because it really does have to. He's right about that. It has to happen. Now, it's not going to be bad for the game of basketball if it doesn't. But it would just, I mean, the guy... you know, was there a title here? No, that never happened. But he won an MVP. He was one of the best players in the league for all those years. And he was the guy until his contract was over and he left. And that's on him. And that's on his, you know, his legacy and however that is looked upon afterwards. But when he was here... You know, he did all the things that you would ask him to do. And he stayed here all the years he said he would stay.
He just needs to shut up.
That's right. Quit talking about it and then people will forgive you a little bit more. Hey, yesterday we were talking about maybe a little bit of breaking news for around these parts and I've had
phone calls on that.
Have you really?
Like what are you talking about?
I do have permission to talk about this. So, what it is it's a change to the Elk City football schedule. And the change was necessitated because Western Heights, who was going to be in the district, has chosen to go independent. And so that opens up a spot in the district schedule, which it makes it really hard to fill because guess what everybody else in the state of Oklahoma is doing? Playing district games on those dates. And so what Elk City has chosen to do because of that almost impossibility with the schedule set in stone because it's district time, Elk City has chosen to add a fourth non-district game to get to 10 total games. And that game, that opponent, will be Carl Albert.
Little old Carl Albert.
Yes, you know, little old Carl Albert. So, the way the schedule is now, the way it's going to be week 0 through week 3. Elk City will play each non-district week. So they'll start with Altus here, go to Bridge Creek. Guymon went independent as well, and so once they went independent,
really,
yes, they wanted to kind of focus more on less travel, so that game is not there, and Elk City has picked up Canadian, Texas. Now, I want
another,
you...
Another here, formidable opponent.
So here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
I want you to see if you can find a tougher three-game stretch in the state of Oklahoma than host Canadian Texas, go to Carl Albert. Now, they do get the week off to start the district schedule, so that there's still that, you know what I'm saying, because that was going to be the first week was Western Heights.
Right.
So you play four, take a week off, and then have... six straight to finish the district schedule. But you know who else that he opens the district with now?
That would be Clinton.
Clinton.
Defending
here.
4A champ Clinton.
Canadian Carl Albert Clinton. Now, here's what I will say, and it felt funny saying this because of what's been happening before last year, but and it rolled off my tongue, and I didn't even hesitate to say it when somebody asked me about it. I said, oh, it's all right. We'll be prepared for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that hasn't been really a statement you could make very often. Like, just kind of thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to be a playoff team. You know, the Elks are going to be there. So that's a welcome change for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, yeah, so that's going to be.
Hey, listen, you don't.
It's going to be cool, though. I mean,
you don't get those better games, by playing down.
Two of those three games don't matter in the grand scheme of things. How many times? You probably know off the top of your head. How many times over the past two decades did Clinton go 1-2 in non-district, losing to Heritage Hall, Carl Albert, whoever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then at the end, and then the first week of December, what was headed back home to Clinton? A gold ball.
Sure.
Because those games don't make you, all they do is prepare you.
Exactly.
They make you better.
Yeah, you don't get better by playing down.
And you don't, it doesn't hurt you as far as playoffs go to lose those games.
And listen, this is a treat. If you're a high school football fan, Canadian Texas is a really good football school in the state of Texas.
Oh, listen, are they not defending state champs?
Look,
maybe
look it up, but I mean they play all those state championships in Jerry World, and they're always there. Shoot, it was a couple years ago we were watching it, and then of course we all know about Carl Albert and Clinton. Carl Albert has been the king of 5A for years. Under Gary Rose, and I can't recall who the coach is now. And then we all know about Clinton. Yeah, that's just going to make – that's just going to – iron sharpens iron, people. And again, back to my point, you know, these are – you know, go – Canadian comes here. Let's fill up the stadium and watch. I mean, it's going to be a fun game. I mean, losing Pampa, it sucks. That was a fun series with Pampa. But to gain Canadian Texas, I'll take it. Carl Albert – you like high school football? Make the trip to Midwest City and watch that game. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when you go back to back, I mean, what Jinx didn't? They weren't available, or Ada? I'm serious.
Yeah,
when you look at the, I mean, Carl Albert and Clinton are what, both 17 state titles, behind Ada.
Clearly, Clinton. Yeah.
I think Clinton tied him, didn't they?
That's worth a Google. I think Clinton is.
Or did no. Or maybe did Clinton and Jinx move one ahead of Carl Albert this year?
I think that's what happened. Clinton and Jinx, I think, are tied.
One behind Ada. I think it goes Ada 18, Clinton and Jinx 17, maybe Carl Albert just 16.
Yeah, we can find out. But either way, it's. And kudos to the administration and the coaching staff.
Absolutely.
Trying not to shy away from competition. You know, that is a part of the, again, here comes that word again, culture that I like. So, you know, lost how many seniors? Doesn't matter. This is credit to the seniors that are moving on. They've laid the base for the rest of these kids that are still here. So, listen, anybody, anywhere, let's go. This is how we do it here. So it's a great approach, great scheduling approach. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And those are just exciting games. And when you look at the different, three weeks in a row, when you start looking at what are the best 10 games in the state, because the Elks – had the season they had last year and also look forward to continuing to build on that foundation, mm-hmm. they'll be able to be one of those headliners too. to make those games top 10 games in the state, regardless of class.
Yes.
So that's good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yes.
So that was kind of some breaking news that we had yesterday. Got to get it confirmed and then be able to get it out there to you. All right, Final Four this weekend. What is your excitement level for this one?
High.
Mine is two. You know, it's so weird because as far as regular season watching college basketball in my 41 years on this earth, and let's say I can remember 30 of them, this is by far the least amount of college basketball I've ever watched. But I was super excited for the tournament, and I'm really excited for this Final Four, and a big part of that is who's in it. This is like, you know, when you go back over the past, what, 20 years, 10 years, 20 years, it's hard, you know, Kentucky, outside of Kentucky, these four have been kind of the best ones, you know. And, you know, I think you could kind of go back and forth between, you know, let's say, you know, Duke, Carolina are pretty secure in those spots. And then, you know, two out of those other three are there somewhere in whatever order you want to say. Kansas, maybe not as much success national in the tournament wise with only the one title, but no one's dominated their conference like Kansas in any sport, maybe ever, you know, with the way that they've done that. Mm-hmm. And then Villanova, two of the last five, since Jay Wright's gotten there, they've been one of the upper echelon teams for a lot of that time, you know. And so, you know, I think you've got those five, and you can pick whatever four. And when since Kentucky lost in the first round, well, I'm going to pick these four because they're still playing. I can't wait to see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, I'm right there. Yeah, and not just because of one game. I'm not excited because, and you mentioned it all right there, I'm not excited just because of Duke, North Carolina. I'm excited because the other one too, because both games potentially, I think, could be real good. And I know that leads into your next question of Duke, North Carolina. Is it overhyped? Will they deliver? What do you think?
I just don't see how it can possibly, I mean, the hype is so large because it's those two schools, because it's Kay finishing up his career. I don't see how it could, but I don't even know if I care.
Right.
Honestly, I mean, I don't want it to be like a 20-point win. Like these two games so far between these two haven't really been that good of games. You know, each team really kind of hammered the other one on their home court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the road team was able. I think it's interesting because, you know, you could go one of two ways as far as this Duke Carolina game and the motivation for it, because you could think, man, all the revenge and the it all sets up for Duke, but surely they were ready to go that night in Durham when it was Kay's last game at Cameron. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like they weren't motivated to win that one, but they also did play a little bit tight. And so you wonder if maybe that game really helps Duke in this situation where they've experienced not this, but something similar to this as far as the importance of a game. And maybe they kind of, okay, this is how we felt. This is what we did. Let's not do, you know, and come out and play free and loose. I hope. And I think it will be. I think this is going to be an entertaining game. Now, I don't know if it's going to come down to the end and be real, real close. But I feel like, you know, a lot of times in the Final Four, it's almost kind of sunken down. And the coaches want so much control, they don't really let their guys get out and play. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think these guys are just going to let go of the reins and go, all right, run up and down the floor. And I'm hoping we get like a something in the 80s for both teams. Just an entertaining basketball game.
Yeah, that's what – and I think we will. Usually these kind of – the anticipation of it all usually – it usually does deliver. It's not usually a dud. So I think it will deliver. I do. This has a feeling like, you know, you've been hearing for months and months and months about this movie that's coming out, and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And then you go and watch the movie, and you kind of think – you sit down, you think – please don't suck.
Yeah.
And then it's good. Like, yeah. This was what I expected. I think that's what we're going to see Saturday. We're going to go walk out there and go, that was exactly what I expected
and
watching that game.
Now, let me ask you this. Will it look like a completely different sport from the first game? The Kansas-Villanova game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that one ain't going to be up and down the floor.
No, no.
That one's going to be more, I mean, if Villanova had its way, I think it'd be first team to 60.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot like what we saw in the Houston game, except for, you know, maybe make a couple more shots. Kansas, I think they get a huge break with Justin Moore tearing his Achilles at the end of that game for Villanova last week. And how much can they carry over what they found in that second half against Miami? Because that was one of the most brutal beatdowns you're ever going to see in a high-level Elite Eight game like that. I mean, that was, well, it reminded me of two different games. One was involving Kansas in the 0-3 Final Four in New Orleans when they just obliterated Marquette and Dwayne Wade that night with Heinrich and Collison. And it also reminded you of Villanova, Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
The way it happened.
The way that happened, yeah.
And just the brutal beatdown that the Jayhawks put on them. I think it's going to be really interesting. Remy Martin's been a big part of what Kansas has done and the resurgence of them and kind of taking them to a new level. Who does he guard? Villanova's guards, you saw it in the Houston game, kind of backing guys down, backing them, you know what I mean? And then you turn around shooting over. Remy Martin's a little dude. Can he guard somebody? Can Villanova spread it out and make McCormick run around? Is he quick enough laterally? We know he can, you know, kind of protect the paint if he's there, but what if he's out on the floor? You know, and how does that work? Can Villanova take advantage of Kansas's defense that way? I think I'm excited. I think it ought to be two good games, two drastically different styles of games, and then you're going to get, no matter who wins, I think on Monday you're going to get a drastic contrast of styles in the finals.
Yes. That's good, too. That's good.
I'm kind of glad it's this way instead of the other, because instead of having to see three games like that where it's a fast against a slower, you know, at least we have a chance to see one that's just scintillating up and down the floor with Duke and Carolina.
Right.
Now, I can see this thing being 1 million breakneck miles an hour for the first 5 or 6 minutes and the score being about 3-2 because everybody's so jacked up,
yeah,
they cannot make a shot.
Well, what game was like that earlier in this tournament? It was a St. Peter's game. Anyways, yeah, they were both kind of tight. Both couldn't make a shot. Anyways, I'm with you.
I don't know.
Not remember.
Did we April Fool's Dakota?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Maybe the...
How did we do it?
I don't know. He's that gullible. He thought he got April Fool'd.
Who wins?
I've said Kansas has been the favorite since this Final Four has been conceived, and I will stick with that. So Kansas beating Villanova, and I will, in round three of this matchup, it is so hard to pick. I feel like Duke is this team of destiny. I think it's going to be a tight game. But if it's a tight game like it was against Michigan State with like 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left, I can see Duke taking over. But it wouldn't surprise me if North Carolina wins. I just don't think North Carolina has enough horses to match up with Duke in a game like that. So I'll go with Duke.
Duke, Texas Tech. The one that started out crazy and nobody can make a shot.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. But they're both tight and nervous, you could tell.
I hate this. Yeah, boo. I agree. Boo, Jared. Boo.
It doesn't mean I like what
you know who
said.
I want to see win? I want to see Carolina and Villanova. You know why?
Why?
Because the first time little skinny sports tears ever happened was the cause. Was Kansas in 1988.
Yes.
Danny Manning broke little skinny's heart by knocking off Oklahoma in the final, in the finals. And I've always had a grudge against Kansas. And you know what else? Well, nobody's clean. Never mind. I was going to say, at least it wouldn't be cheater versus cheater and like it is in your scenario, but who were kidding? North Carolina made up classes, so let's not go that far. I'd like to see it be Carolina and Nova. I think it's not going to be that, though, and here's why. This stupid tournament has been all about K and the destiny, and what more of a destiny, and the whole thing coming full circle for his career than beating Carolina and then beating Kansas, which, by the way, back in 1991, who did he beat to win his first national title? Roy and Kansas. There's just a lot of that happening. And I hope Brady Manick in his Larry Bird costume can keep that from happening. But I'm afraid it's not going to, so I'll take Duke and Kansas also, as much as I hate to. It's like the college basketball little G gods are getting back at me for not watching college basketball and then trying to pretend like I was excited for the tournament. And they're going to go, hey, watch this. Karma. How's karma working out when it's Duke and Kansas in the finals there, buddy? How about watching some regular season college basketball next year? And I'll do it if I can keep that from happening. We don't have to make a pick yet.
No, we
for
got
the final. We can actually see
Monday.
Who plays in the finals
right,
before we do that.
Right.
North Carolina, Kansas on the text line. Duke, Nova. Mookie and Stacey King, yes. Ricky Grace. Dave Seeger. Andre Wiley. All of them. How in the world did one guy beat them? Ah. Yeah, we're talking in the break. That three-game stretch we were discussing earlier with the Big Elk football schedule. What is it, 38?
38 combined. Because that three-game stretch, if you missed it, Elk City's football schedule has been released, and they will play in a three-game stretch Canadian, Texas, Carl Albert, and Clinton. We all know about Carl Albert and Clinton and their state titles. Clinton was 17, Carl Albert 16. Canadian, Texas are pretty good in their own right in the state of Texas, Class 3A Division II. They have five state titles, which is really hard to do.
Yeah, I think they won in 2020, maybe.
I think that's the last one.
It was the last one.
Yeah. So they are up there, and that's, yeah, 38 combined state titles. And not to mention the runner-ups. I was looking that up, and a stat that shocked me. Clinton, they lead the state, tied with Jinx, in 10 silver balls. Carl Albert, I was like, where are they? Where are they in this list? They're not. They are a perfect 16-0 in state title games. They don't know what silver is in football.
It's pretty crazy.
When they get to the state title game, give them the ball. They don't lose that game. But that was a crazy. And I haven't seen anything for Canadian Texas. The point is, going up against championship caliber teams, and for two reasons, I love it. Again, mentioning, you don't get better by playing down. You play the best of the best, and that makes you better. And two, if you're a fan of high school football, regardless of the colors you wear, this is cool. This is really cool.
And you know what's really cool? Two of those three are right down the street.
Yes, home games, yes.
Canadian here, Clinton here, and going to Carl Albert.
Yeah.
For my sake, and if it is this case, I'm going to have to start doing some exercising. I hope the stands at Carl Albert's football stadium aren't nearly as steep as their basketball gym. I was afraid Sean and I were going to have heart attacks trying to manage to produce those 6A girls state tournament.
Well,
games.
It's the off season. Come on, do we need to have our own OTAs?
Speaking of Sean, let's get to the Paragon qualifying. So, what has happened is
what's going on here
since Jimmy has come along. Jimmy's a pretty good golfer, and so Jimmy, Gabe, and Sean had conceived a qualifying round to join myself and Blake at the Bob Berry Jr. Memorial Classic.
Right.
For the Paragon Communications team. And there's been a lot of trash talk back and forth about this. And so yesterday, the ground rules have been set for a while. Jimmy plays at Sarah all the time. Sean and Gabe play here all the time. Needs to be a neutral course. So they chose Clinton. Well, yesterday afternoon, Paragon qualifying tournament happened at Clinton. And so it was pretty simple. Stroke play, the top two scorers get to join myself and Blake on the team.
Okay.
Now, before I talk about what happened, my question is this, Jared. Does this motivate you to start practicing so that you can be involved in the qualifying tournament a year from now?
I think I need to bring something to the air that I haven't really been telling a lot of people, Aaron. I have been playing.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. And it was, when was it? Not last weekend because we were busy. A couple weekends ago? Anyways, I went out and I shocked myself. I shot an 88. So I'm a little put out that I haven't been invited in this.
Well, you're going to be really upset when you find out the results.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, yeah. Aaron. April Fools.
April Fools. That was all bull crap.
I saw it coming. And so, so that you're not committing to dedicating yourself.
It's all about time, man. I've been committed to other
softball.
Things. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's
I understand.
Time of my life. I mean, you know.
I understand.
Right now, but I'm not put out. I'm not.
So these other three, we start out at Clinton. And it is well, it took 4 or 5 holes. I think the fifth hole, finally on the par 5 fifth, it actually looked like anyone in that group knew how to play golf. And all at the same time. It was a struggle to start, and I'll get there with me too.
Yourself included?
I struggled on if I could ever be even par stepping on number 5 tee box over there, there's no telling what I'd shoot. But I'm always like yesterday, I was 4 over through 4. And I do it a multitude of I parred the first hole, messed around on number 2 and made a 5, which is a double. Mm-hmm. Hit the green on number 3 and 3 putted. And then hit it over the green on number 4 and didn't get it up and down. So I'm 4 over through 4, and I've played the rest 2 under. And made some silly bogeys, or it'd have been even better than that. But the others finally kind of got it together on number 5. And they were so either amped up, nervous, whatever you want to say. But it was a struggle for those guys early. And unfortunately, there was some turning points in the round. Number 6 was a huge turning point.
Slow down.
Number 6 goes straight north with the dike on the right.
Yes.
And the green kind of sits back
in,
five, back
go
into
south
the dike.
And you come back. Gotcha.
Kind of sits back in there with the bunker short right.
Yep.
Sean hit it over the dike with the tee shot, which isn't that bad a deal, honestly. I mean, you can't really see where you're going, but it's a wide open shot to the green. And he left it short of the dike. And
on
then
his tee shot, he went over.
Yeah, he hit his tee shot right of the dike into 7 fairway.
Through the tree, over the trees?
Yeah, he just hit it over the trees way out there.
Okay.
But then he didn't get it over the dike on his second. And then his third barely trickled into the bunker. Hmm. And that's where the wheels fell off. He took 4, 5, 6.
Just stop counting.
His fourth attempt barely crept over onto the grass, and then he two-putted for a 9. So that his old dauber got down pretty quickly there.
You don't stop at 8. You keep going.
He made a 9. Okay. But then, after Sean shoots 48 on the front, Gabe shot 46, Jimbo shot 45. So Jimmy had a 3-shot lead. Gabe was 2 ahead of Sean. We go to number 10. Gabe hits it right down the middle of the fairway, the par 5, and then he toes a 3-wood into the drink, then hits it way left of the green, dumps a chip, makes an 8. Hmm. Then, on number 11.
My favorite hole, by the way.
He hits a nice tee shot, less than driver, just right of the fairway, but just fine. Leaves it short of the trap. Chips it in the trap with a fried egg, makes 7. So he's got 15 shots in the first 2 holes of the back 9. Meanwhile, Sean parred 10 and doubled 11. So that's 11. So 4 shots. So all of a sudden, Gabe's 2 behind Sean.
Oh.
This, but Then Gabe settled down.
Hold on, should I lock the door? Because Gabe might come in here and turn
on
the mic.
No, okay. Then Gabe settled down. He parred 12. He parred 13. And 13 is the green's kind of back toward the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real perched up. And it's the pin was on the back of that green right on top of that knob.
It sits real high. Yeah.
And Gabe two-putted from the front of the green. It was a heck of a two-putt. And then 16 was kind of the unraveling. Sean hit it he hit it over in the river, hit a pretty good shot, but then he had some trouble on the green. And so as we leave 18 tee box, play in the final hole, I think it occurred to Sean what was happening. I wasn't sure what the scores were. I had a feeling that it was probably he was behind, but I wasn't sure by how many. He must have added up the scores. And as we're walking off the tee box, kind of the white flag was waved, and he said, "Boys, tell Bob Berry hi for me."
Oh boy!
It was a sad moment.
Well, I wish I would have been there.
And so the final
just
tally,
to witness it.
The final tally, Jimmy, 85. He played a solid back nine with a 40 to go with his 45 on the front. Gabe, 90, 46, 44. Sean, 93, 48, 45. I shot 72, 37, 35.
And oh, by the way.
Just to make sure everybody wanted to know. I mean, four over through four and played the last 14 two under. That happens to me. I played that round so many times with that golf course, I just don't get why I can't start, but I can't. Here's the question, though.
I can tell you exactly where I break down on that course.
Where?
Where?
Yeah, where do you break down?
It would be...
Don't say the driving range.
No. I mean, because one straight shot to it, then you start, and you go two as a par three, and I usually am okay, maybe still playing bogey ball. I feel that like that's okay. But for some reason, three, when it kind of dog legs back right... Something about it, I always push it into the trees on the right side.
Yes, and there's a giant tree in front of the green, and it's hard to...
It's a little difficult.
I've always started terrible on that golf course, and then play fine after that. Here's the question. Was it all for naught? Because you know what hasn't been announced yet?
The tournament.
Any sort of date for the Bob Berry Jr. tournament.
Is it going to be on July 7th and 8th, or... 7th?
Well, if it's that, we won't go.
Yeah, exactly. Or 8th, I guess. 8th.
So hang in there, Sean. Even though you didn't accomplish what you wanted to yesterday, it may not make a hill of beans because I don't know that they're even having the tournament.
We'll have to ask our man, Jim, on Monday.
maybe
if
that
he has any insight for us.
Maybe this was just an elaborate April Fool's joke coming from Gabe and Jimmy. Hey, we beat you. But April Fools, there's not a tournament. By the way, a new website for Elk City Athletics.
Ooh, cool.
ElkCityAthletics.org. ElkCityAthletics.org. All right, everybody. Do not get sucked into two things today on Twitter. Fake Tiger Woods announcing he's playing the Masters.
Yeah.
Or recruits committing to your school. Don't get sucked in.
Exactly.
That's Enjoy good. The final four. We'll be in here to talk about it on Monday. Monday will be Friday for me. Everyone have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.